This is Dave Wilson, and you're listening to Family Life Today. Before we get started with today's episode, let me say this. Every single day, families around the world are facing real struggles, and Family Life is here with gospel-centered help and hope. And when you become a Family Life partner, your monthly support fuels this work.
And with your monthly gift, you'll become a part of a community that receives insider updates, which is pretty amazing.
Yes, it is.
And who doesn't want to be a part of an insider community? You also get invitations to special events and more, because together we're helping families really grow stronger in Christ. So join us.
Yeah, just go to familylifetoday.com and tap the donate button at the top of the page.
I was still partying, doing all these things, a mom, but still living it up. I was young. She invites me to church. I go there reluctantly. I was there and my heart was pricked. And I heard the gospel for the first time, how Christ loved me and he died for me. And I sat in the pew thinking, do you know where I've been and the things that I've done? There's no way that you can forgive me. And I thought to myself, well, if you're willing to forgive, then I'm willing to come to you.
Welcome to Family Life Today, where we want to help you pursue the relationships that matter most. I'm Dave Wilson.
And I'm Ann Wilson, and you can find us at familylifetoday.com. This is Family Life Today.
We got Tony Lamari Navarro. Finally in the studio.
Finally.
Oh, man.
We're excited.
But this is not the first time you've ever been here.
Yeah, it is.
It is.
This is the first time you've ever been here. I knew that.
I feel like we know you guys so well because we've done a weekend to remember with you.
And I don't remember
speakers.
Where. Where was it?
San Antonio.
Yes. Well, you guys do so many weekend remembers. Like how many a year?
Man,
seven to eight.
7 to 8 a year.
Mm-hmm. It was cool for us to get to know you, but also to get to know your story.
Yeah.
Because you have a pretty remarkable story of what God has done. And Tony, you were saying as you walked into the studio, like this feels crazy that we're here. Why is that?
Well, because in 2002, we attended, I still do, I think it's with a conference.
It was you like were attending.
Conference.
Yeah,
we were
attendees.
So we
went there as an attendee. And I remember it was Dennis Rainey, I think Crawford LaRitz.
Dennis who? Founder and president of Family Life, in case you don't know.
Yes.
Crawford LaRitz, unbelievable mentor of ours. Yeah.
Bob LaPine was
Bob
there.
Who?
And so we were coming out of something that really devastated our marriage. It's about 18 months of us like constantly fighting and trying to get over this, trying to move on to the next step. So we were at a place where we really needed help. And one of the elders at the church actually told us you should go to this event. They were advertising it through the radio and Moody Bible. And so we go and not expecting what's going to happen here. I'd never saw so many couples. I'd never been to an event like this. We're there and we're seeing all these marriages, and then they're starting to share about God's plan for marriage, about communication, about sex. I mean, about a lot of different topics. And we left there very hopeful. And we actually were holding hands, like leaving.
Lamari, were you surprised of how you felt afterwards leaving? Did you feel hope? What were you feeling?
I felt hope. I felt like we had tools to do marriage right.
Yeah.
We didn't have examples growing up. And so we left that weekend with just a renewed sense of fight for our marriage. And one of the things that I put my stake in the ground was I was going to stop using the word divorce. I felt like that was really what the Holy Spirit prompted in me, because I was using that word a lot. I say I like to use it like a credit card, and it was accruing a lot of credit, and it was deteriorating at our marriage at the time when we were trying to restore. And so I left there, saying, this is it.
Well, we have to rewind. We have to go back.
But Tony, for you, that when you sat down, you thought, it's crazy that we're here.
Yeah, it's crazy that we're here from sitting at the place that helped our marriage so much, like indirectly. Like it wasn't like, all right, we went to Weekend to Remember. We're going to now, you know, join Family Life. But we used half of our rent that day. We bought home builders. I think it was called Home Builders at the time. Yeah. And so we tried slopping it up, you know, in our basement and inviting other couples to come by and to learn what we were learning. But to be here, to hear the voices that were on the radio. I used to listen on my truck. I was a truck driver for a moment. I would just listen on the radio and listen to Dennis and Bob talk about all these different things, different hosts, people that they had on the show. So it was, I was sharing with somebody. It was almost like they were indirectly discipling me.
Yes.
You know? And it still does that today. Like, well, all the resources that we have here and the people that you get to interview, it just, it gives you another layer of like, wow, I didn't know that. And now I do. And so there's a sort of accountability as well. Yeah, it's just kind of like a full circle moment for us. And we're just like blown away. We've never been to crew and get a chance to see that as well. So we were just like, wow, babe, we're part of something so big. It's like,
and
amazing.
That's what God does. You would have had no idea.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk about a book that you've written too.
Yeah, I mean, I was thinking we're sitting here, like you said, in a pretty epic space. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Crew's been here since the 90s. Bill Bright's vision. We're sitting in the buildings that they built. And, you know, there's this other little park on the other side of the city in Orlando that people like to go to. I think it's called Disney World or something like that. Yeah. But what happens there doesn't happen here. What happens here is God does stuff. I mean, he does stuff there too. God can move anywhere. But to be sitting on the grounds where a move of God moved and you guys are a part of it.
Yeah.
And, you know, we didn't know your story until we did that first weekend, remember, as your co-speakers in San Antonio. And we sat in the back of the room, you know, and like, oh, we're talking, you know, Tony Lamari, let's see. And then we're like,
whoa.
Oh, my goodness. Mm. And then we got your book. When Ann and I read it, we're like, you guys are really good writers.
Mm. Oh, thank you.
I don't know if anybody's told you that. Yeah. You are. I mean, we knew the story, but it's captivating. Mm. And so here's the title, Ruin to Renewal, Restoring Your Marriage After Trust is Broken. Well, we just found out something happened in the title. And by the way, you can go to familylifetoday.com. In the show notes there, we'll have a link that you can buy their book. So let's start at the beginning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, we sort of got a little bit later, but start how you met, how it started. Give us the ruin to renewal story.
We grew up in the same neighborhood. Mm-hmm. I would see him on and off on public transportation. Kind of had a crush on him from afar.
Oh,
yeah.
Tony.
I thought he was really good looking and charming. And he had like this mole right above his lip. He still has it. He just hides it with his mustache now. And I just thought he was really cute. And we had similar friends. But we would not really get to know each other for years until we started dating. And during our dating season, we broke up. And in between that time of breaking up, I ended up being a single mom. I got pregnant at 17 years old.
Mm. Living in Chicago?
We were in the heart of Chicago. So we like to call ourselves hood hearts.
Yeah. Hood hearts?
We're from the neighborhood, right?
two city blocks away from each other.
Was there any faith going on in your lives or your family?
None of it.
Nothing.
Priesters.
Priesters, where we would
Christmas,
go to
Easter.
Our church for...
We know you well.
Yeah.
I pastored forever.
But it wasn't,
we know your type.
It was more of of a Catholic background, though. Mm-hmm. And so I didn't have any idea what Christians in a sense were. So we weren't living a life to honor the Lord or any of that. We were kind of just in that city life or inner city life where we were playing house. Mm-hmm. I mean, she was pregnant when we got back together again.
Hit that for a second.
Sure.
Just like, what was that like being 17 years old and being pregnant?
Scary. Part of my story was that I was actually laying on an abortion table about to take the life of my son when his little hand popped up from my belly and it stopped the procedure. And they found out I was a little farther than I was. And so God literally saved my son from that. I was just a scared teenage girl, afraid to tell her mom. I told my mom she was a single mom. She was brokenhearted. But my mom helped me raise my son for the first year of his life. And then Tony and I reconnected. So I was very terrified. I didn't even like kids, you know, when I got pregnant. I was young.
Yeah.
Naive.
But Lamari, think about that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're on the table and you get off because your son moved and poked you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Does he know?
He knows the story.
Yeah.
He's a miracle. And so I say he was fighting for his life. He's like, no, not today, Mom.
What a gift from God that was.
Yeah.
And you guys didn't even really, you weren't following him, but God's like, I'm with you.
Yeah. We can see the evidence of God's hand throughout our whole life. Yeah. So even when we look back, it's like God has been merciful. He's been kind to us. And then we get together when I'm 18 And then we get into a serious relationship and he helps raise that little boy because his dad was not in his life.
And you didn't have any hesitation, Tony?
I did because I mean, I didn't know what I was doing, you know? And it seems like when we broke up that first time, we both went in different directions, but I think in the same direction. I started to really get involved with drugs, started to hang around. I like what Lecrae says, I was like a hangbanger. I was just hanging around with all the bad influences at the time, really getting to a place where I wasn't even believing I was going to live past my 20s. Because in a neighborhood, you just don't live very long or you get locked up. I was living a life that wasn't a place where a kid should be or a woman should be. And so when we were living together, we had to make some changes, but I still was struggling with the addiction. I was still struggling with a different mindset. And but yet marriage and that other stuff wasn't even in the plans. So we were living together. It wasn't like great, you know, but we were trying to make something happen. Lamadi was invited to a church.
I remember at the weekend, remember how you said her name.
Yeah, Limari.
You say it in such a different way.
He's the only one that pronounces it that way. And I don't have the heart to correct him. And it's now.
It's kind of sweet now.
It's sweet now.
It
yeah.
Is.
Yeah. It's grown on
I'm
me.
I'm like over here, like, yeah. Did I say
Lamadi?
It wrong?
No, you said
Lamadi. Lamadi. Pretty.
That's I like it.
Or I call it a limo. But
it's, yeah, Lamadi's
it's Lamadi is pretty. So we were living with each other, basement apartment, two kids at the time. She gets invited
to
church.
Wait, so you guys had a baby?
Yeah.
So now I'm pregnant with his son.
Whoa.
We're living together.
How old's your first son?
One and a half.
When you got
very
pregnant.
Young.
When
okay.
I got pregnant.
All right.
So yeah. By the age of 21, I'm up with my second child.
Wow.
You know.
Yeah.
So yes, it was scary. 21, having two kids, trying to figure this all out. But she's invited to a church service. She goes to see her family, celebrate Mother's Day. And then also, I think it was your cousin that was going to be baptized or something. So anyway, she goes and she keeps going to this church and I'm thinking, well, she's out of the house. She's out of my hair. She's taking the kids. So life's good, right? I'm going to let that keep happening.
So even at that point, you guys weren't doing that great.
No. We were very toxic, dysfunctional.
To each other. Yeah. Yeah.
And again, we needed answers, but we weren't necessarily looking for them. But Lamadi started to get answers when she started visiting the church. And God really started to do a change in her dramatically.
Why did you go to church, Lamar?
So I was bribed. I did not want to go to church. I was not a church goer. And a cousin of mine said, well, they're going to be honoring the mothers on Mother's Day. And my mom and my sister had been attending this church. And I, you know, I was living my life. I was still partying, doing all these things, a mom, but still living it up. I was young. She invites me to church and says, well, you have to go because they're going to honor your mom. So I go there reluctantly. I was there and it was for the first time I heard the gospel. And my heart was pricked. And I would come back again a second time because my cousin, who was also from inner city, was, drug dealing, gang banging, all of that, had transformed. And he said, I want you to come and hear me share my story. And when he shared his story, he said, it's like God took all his pain and he squished it like a grape. And I sat in that pew thinking, well, I want all my pain squished like a grape. And I heard the gospel for the first time, how Christ loved me and he died for me. And I sat in the pew thinking, do you know where I've been and the things that I've done? There's no way that you can forgive me. And I thought to myself, well, if you're willing to forgive, then I'm willing to come to you. Mm-hmm. And I remember walking up to the altar,
wow,
crying, you know, with my high heels, I think I was the only one that went up. And I'm crying to the Lord. And for the first time in my life, I felt peace. I felt love. I felt forgiven. And I was transformed. I was in love with God. And I would go home. And it was in stark contrast to what I was reading and learning from the pulpit.
What did you say to Tony when you went home?
I said, I gave my life to Jesus. And he's like, that's great, as long as it don't interrupt his life, right?
Yeah.
You can go to church, and he would still be doing his thing, getting high, hanging out with buddies, doing his stuff. And Here I am praying for him, crying out for him. I have the church praying for him and fasting for him, and he wouldn't come to church. And then I said, you know, we've been living in sin, and we need to stop having sex, or I need to leave you, or you marry me. And all of a sudden, this God interrupted his sex life. Yeah. And so that changed everything.
Okay, Jody, we have to hear, like, what's going on in your head?
Well, yeah, I'm thinking everything was okay until she said that. And I'm
you
like,
didn't care
what?
If she's at church.
Yeah, no, she's trying to explain why. And I'm like, that's crazy. It doesn't say that. And all these, I mean, because I'm thinking this is not normal. You know, that people do that, right? I told her, well, I'm going to go to church then because I wanted to see what this pastor was talking about. I wanted to talk to this guy and figure out what is this guy talking to my girlfriend about all this nonsense stuff, right? So we, I go that next Sunday, we end up going together. And I still remember how it literally was for the first time. I was standoffish. I don't want nobody touching me. Don't give me no handshakes. Don't hug me. Just leave me alone. Where do I got to sit? And so she sits, like, I want to sit in the back. She's like, come sit in the front. Like, I don't want to sit in the front. And so we sit, like, in the middle. We're like having an argument about where to sit. Like, I don't want to go all the way to the front. And so we sit in the middle, and it's a small church. But, for the first time, I heard the gospel. Like, I didn't know this is what the Bible said. I didn't know that Jesus, like, died for me, right? I didn't know that there's this thing called grace and mercy and a second chance and life, and that the word is like, it gives us how to live for the Lord. Like, and so I'm crying out of anger, grabbing the pew as he's like asking for those that, I mean, they're doing like altar calls then, you know, like, yeah. come to the front. I'm squeezing it angry and crying because I'm like feeling like something's wrong right now, like really, really wrong. Like either this is a lie or this is right. And I started feeling emotional and I wasn't a crier. Lamidi can't even remember when I would cry. Mm. And so I was just—
Now he cries all
really
the time,
feeling, yeah, really feeling this turmoil within me. And so I don't go up and I see the pastor afterward. He gives me a big hug and I'm just kind of like stiff, like a log, like whatever, like receiving this love from this man. And I left though with an impression that I maybe need to relook at this again. I need to come back. A few months went by, long conversations, talking to different people. I came to a place of like, I surrender, man. Everything I'm doing right now hasn't been working. And I know that you are the true Christ. And I was so scared because I don't remember 3 years not being high every single day. And I was thinking, this lie of like, you're not going to make it, you know? How are you going to get through the day without it? Why are you going to go up there and say those things or go to the front? You're going to still get high. And I tell you this, because it doesn't happen for everybody, but the taste for it left.
Really?
And I didn't have the withdrawal. I didn't have sicknesses in that sense. I mean, I had habits still, the way that I processed, the way I was deceptive in my daily routines of what I did around Limadi in the home. But for the first time, like peace, I didn't feel angry anymore. Mm. And it was just like, I really felt like the Lord was drawing me towards him in his presence, right? Mm. And so that started off, and that's where we were months later, it was like 3 months later, we're like, we're getting married, right? And they didn't say that just because you live with each other, you get married. No, they walked with us and said, this is what the Bible says. Mm-hmm. This is what you guys are doing.
So you guys are getting discipled.
Yeah, so we're getting discipled there. And it's like, this is the next steps that you need.
And I guess the sex thing was cut off. Boom.
Yeah, it was.
We
stopped. And then it was my conviction as well. And we said, well, until we get married, we won't have sex then, right?
What do you tell couples today? I mean, we got to go back to your story, but pause and say, okay, there's a couple of days like, I still think that's stupid. Yeah. What do you say to them? Like, no, this is why God says you should wait till you're married.
Yeah, I think one of the things is they're missing out on the blessing of marriage. Mm. And we talk about this idea of obedience to the word of God. Mm. We have to align not to what we think or what culture's teaching, but what does God say? Because he's the final authority. So we try to walk people through that.
Yeah.
We had a couple that we were walking with just even recently doing premarital with them. And they were living together. And I've sat down with her and said, hey, if he's not willing, it's time for you to leave. Because God was doing a work in her.
Yeah.
And she needed to take a strong stance. Mm-hmm. And that's where I was at. I knew God was doing something dramatic inside of my life. And this one area was a level where the Holy Spirit was telling me, Limari, I need you to stop. I need you to obey me and watch what I could do. And he used that to actually bring Tony to Jesus.
Yeah.
Tony, I was crying and you're emotional too, as you recall that.
Yeah.
Your fear of not being able to get through a day without some sort of a high.
Yeah.
Why does that make you emotional?
I feel emotional because of the fact that there are other people like me that are stuck in that everyday cycle. And the fear of the unknown or the fear of failure again, like they're going to let themselves down because you've tried this. A lot of times when it comes to addiction, somebody's tried already multiple times to break it. Whether that's substance or porn or whatever it is, that you're going to try on your own efforts to do it. I didn't want to let Lamadi down. I didn't want to let these people down. I didn't want this to be some sort of, and I really wanted out. I wanted
just
to be
afraid.
There and present with my family. But I was very angry as well. And so I was kind of medicating myself with a lot of different things. Like that was just kind of how I was coping with all that.
What was the anger?
Grew up in the neighborhood that we grew up in, it was kind of like wearing anger was kind of your t-shirt.
It was a
badge of honor.
It was kind of like a badge of honor. I didn't come across like angry, tough. I mean, there were obviously things in my own home as well that I can look back now and see certain points in my life growing up in my household where the seed of anger was really had soil to have its fruit come out in my life. Being quick and using that as a fuel for reputation and all that kind of stuff in the neighborhood. But I didn't know how to turn it off. And so when we would get together, we have arguments, it just explode. I mean, I'm physically damaging things, not hitting Lamadi, but just the way that I cope with life. It was always that was, to do anything was like to muster up the anger and to get it done. So
it had been like an armor probably most of your life.
Yeah.
Like, and who would you be without the anger and then the drugs to help that subside?
Yeah. It's interesting because I think about this idea of an armor, and when the armor was gone, Tony became so tender. Mm. And he's still very tender. There's a part of him that's so tender with our kids growing up, tender with me. And it was like he was hiding behind this thing that was really destroying him. And it was learned, you know, it's generational as well.
Yeah.
Things we've had to fight.
Yeah.
He's come a long way from there. Mm-hmm.
Was that something you saw dissipate right after coming to Christ? Because the drugs did. I mean, that was done.
Moments of it.
Yeah.
Moments where there would be like times where I really felt waking up, you know, like, wow, you know, you ever wake up and it's just like, you actually hear birds, even though you're living in like the city, there's like, oh, I do hear birds. I don't just hear something else, gunshots. But I mean, it's just like a piece, right? And so, but then there are obviously moments where you're just feeling more of an attack and just the season of like spurts of anger or something. So
wait, guys. So what were all your friends? Because your friends are probably like a tough group, and they
absolutely
partying. Yeah, what are they thinking? What has happened to these guys?
You know what's interesting? There were so many of our friends coming to know Jesus as a result of the transformation that was happening in our lives. We even had a young man call us like at 11 o'clock, and I called him, and he was on a really bad high. And he went to some other guys and just said, we don't know how to help you, but Tony Navarro, like, he can help you. So he shows up at our house. We're praying for this guy. We're telling him, get rid of your drugs. He gives his life to Jesus. He gets married. And those were the kind of stories that were happening around us because of the transformation that was happening in us, that people
awesome.
Were witnessing. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what's supposed
pretty
to
happen. Cool.
That's it. You're called to ministry the day you're called.
Absolutely.
You know?
Yeah.
This has been so good. And it's just the beginning of their story. And if you want to get their book, I would get their book. It's called Ruin to Renewal, Restoring Your Marriage After Trust is Broken. And you can find that and get that in our show notes. Go to familylifetoday.com and you can get it there.
Yeah, we're not done with this story because we're going to jump into it tomorrow. So stay tuned.
We would love to pray for you. I would personally love to pray for you. And we even have a team at Family Life that can pray for you. Just go to familylife.com/ pray for me.
Family Life Today is a donor-supported ministry of Family Life, a crew ministry, helping you pursue the relationships that matter most.